rest of us, everyone, we are, Baruch Hashem, we're sending out some more chairs. The air conditioning is being turned on. When the whistle from the air conditioning gets too loud, we'll turn down the air conditioning. You can hear without the whistle. When you want the whistle again, we'll put the air conditioning on. Shavuot Tov and Gemara Matzimah Tova. My name is Richard Joel. I work for you, and I'm thrilled and delighted to welcome you home on this Motzei Shabbat. I was thinking about that we're doing this event on Motzei Shabbat, and we had no idea what kind of turnout we would have. And I thought about why we were doing this on Motzei Shabbat, and I thought that this was our attempt to make Shabbat Shuva into a Yom HaRitza. I did that both because of the spirit of Shabbat Shuva and also my Bar Mitzvah version. I'm very proud of the Kollel and the Dreshet Yom Rishon. I think it shows the splendid face of Yeshiva Rebbeinu Yitzchak Altman. I think it points to the future of Yeshiva University. I think it's become a signature program for us, and I also think it's a learning lab for our future. It is a work in progress, and I hope it will always be a work in progress. Please God, the notion that on Sunday mornings we have traffic jams, those people are coming to learn Torah while their children are nearby learning Torah as well, is a wonderful thing. Over the coming months and years, it's our hope that we will think in grand terms about how what we offer, the Gadlus of our yeshiva, which is our Rashi yeshiva, and other gifted educators, can be shared beyond the borders of New York, both through technology and through airplane travel. I think we have something unique and distinct to share with the world, and it's overdue time that we do so joyously and proudly and strongly. If in fact we believe that Yeshiva University is the educational fountainhead of our community, it's something that should overflow and should really transcend its borders. This evening, the sponsorship of Kollel Yom Rishon, the Dreshet Yom Rishon, and I do remind you that it is Yom Rishon, but as reason not even when the associate came very early to tomorrow morning's Kollel Yom Rishon, which is held this evening. But this evening, the Kollel Yom Rishon, the Dreshet Yom Rishon, is being sponsored by Mindy and Mark Schechter and by Esther and Richard Joel, and Mindy and David Ritter, and our respective families. In memory of my father-in-law, Irving Rittner, Zifrano Lebrasa, who loved Yiddishkeit, loved Yeshiva University, and we decided to do it at this time of year. Esther and Mimi and Marvin attend the Kollel Yom Rishon and the Dreshet Yom Rishon regularly. I do when my schedule permits me to do so, and we're very committed to it. So Esther and Mimi decided that it meant something to them to sponsor this in memory of my father-in-law, particularly he was a Balfila on the Yom HaRun, and we really did it with an eye toward saying, what a nice thing to do, how happy we are to do it, and frankly, to encourage you to use this event to be able to sponsor the Kollel Yom Rishon, the Dreshet Yom Rishon on a regular basis, to either mark a simcha or to serve as a commemoration. I assure you that the contribution you make for that will also advance the great work that we're doing. I hope it starts or continues a custom that we can all be very proud of. It's also very interesting that the Kollel and the Dreshet really develop a culture that we're hoping to continue to grow. We broke ground this week on a new base medrash building that will be the Glug Center, which we study in what used to be the parking lot across the street from First Hall and connected to the library. It will hold another 470-seat high-tech base medrash proper. Faculty offices for all of our Rabbeinu and Rashi Yeshiva, and 11 classrooms, including some large ones that will please God host the Dreshet and Kollel Yom Rishon. I think that's very meaningful and very important, and I hope that we learn together how to advance those programs. So enough of an advertisement from your sponsor, and let me take the privilege of introducing our first teacher this evening. It's my honor to present Rabbi Mordechai Lulig. Rabbi Lulig has been a Rosh Yeshiva, Yeshivas Rabbeinu for over 30 years. He's the Rabbi Dr. Saul Roth Professor of Talmud and Contemporary Halacha at Reed. He's been a Rosh Yeshiva at the Major School of Talmudic Studies since 1973, and Rosh Kollel, he's the Sanger Kollel of the Kollel Young Young at Reed as well. Rabbi Lewis received a BA in Mathematics from Yeshiva College in 1968, an MS in Jewish History in 1971 from the Rebbe Graduate School. He received Speaker the same year. He has served as the spiritual guide to the Young Israel of Riverdale and Bronx in 1974, as a distinguished author, a much respected posse, and someone who shares his Torah both with a smile and with a largeness of heart. It's my honor to present Rebbe Lewis. Before I begin, I would be remiss if I would not say a word about the Nifter for whom these shirim are being dedicated and make an observation. The Irving Nifter in front of the Rabbah was part of a tight circle of friends that attended this yeshiva in the late 1930s. That circle included my father, the Shlomo of the Rabbah. It included the father of our upcoming speaker, the father of Ajayda Shakta, Haran Hersha Shakta Shalita, should do well. It included many notable names, our household names in my yeshiva, Rabbi Israel Miller, the Shlomo of the Rabbah, whose son is our Rosh Yeshiva and Eretz Yisrael. For this group of people, the yeshiva could do no wrong. I come home and say, this is Apale. I couldn't get anywhere because the yeshiva could do no wrong. And one of the reasons is that the yeshiva took in these students for zero or almost zero tuition, provided them with a place to stay, with a rebane, with clothing. But that's a totally different relationship. You can't, of course, recreate that in a campus of 1,000 students. But that closeness and that spirit and that the second generation continues to be tied together. And just for example, in the class of 1968, there was a report, Dr. David Rivlin graduated, Rabbi David Miller graduated, and other sons of that same group. And we stay close together. I would say that in some cases, even the next generation is together. It's other names, the Eisenberg name is close to the rivers and to the wilderness, and it went on to another generation and another generation and others. So it's not a personal privilege to give you from beginning this way, but it's important that we would all have the yeshiva. That's just a brick. But I'm talking about long before this building even existed. It was a spirit. And I want to thank Mr. Joel for the kind introduction and for his superhuman effort. I'm not discussing all the other things. That's not for now. But to recapture that spirit. That's something that goes back to his wife with us. And we thank her for that. And it's a privilege for me to be chosen to say this year that he. The shiur is primarily a halacha shiur that was asked to do. But at the end we'll have some different horrors as well. I refer you to the second page of the Makaros. My font starts now. Well, I shouldn't say that. Well, keep your font, it starts now. The Shari Tshuva Rabbeinu Yonah. This is for the classical Muslim paper for Rabbeinu Yonah, was one of the great halakhists of all generations. And we will read what he has to say. Quote the Gemara, Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tet, Kol HaKoveya, Uza, Ve'erev, Yom HaKippurim, Kilo Nitzava, Lizana, Shi, Vatsiri, Lizana, Vahem. It's a Gemara that is found in a number of places in Rosh Hashanah, and in Yuma, and in Rava. And he gives three reasons for this. Each one is a world of Uza. The first, Ki Hera, Tekoso, Vahiyah, Tanka, Korosa. He demonstrated his joy when the time of his opponent came. The fact that you're happy when the time for atonement comes indicates that you were sad and worried about your sins. So this is a, if I will, if I may, it's an expression of tshuva. Eating on the Erev of Kippur is an expression of tshuva, that you're really worried about your sins, bothers you whenever you're happy when they're about to be erased on the Kippur. That's reason number one. Reason number two is even more wrong. Hashem. He be sure that the Tov man has to call him to the Lord and have a mitzvah. Every young person, hey, you're a Shabu, and the Lord is a Shabu. And therefore, what is left to learn? When we've made that Tov be Yom HaKippur, you can't do that in Kippur. This Chayavu, this Gola, this Kuda, I'll send out a mitzvah for Erev of Kippur. That's an amazing line. So we, so Erev of Kippur, we're doing this, this is the Shabbat. He said, we can't have it on us itself, obviously. So it moved up earlier. It's a remarkable idea this time for Arminio. The third is the most practical and most accepted, and perhaps the most philosophical. Hashlishi. The man netzach la'arba l'tfilah b'tzach l'unam yom kippurim. We should get stronger. We shouldn't get, we have to be strong in order to be able to fast and keep the day properly. So we have to eat. All the way eating on Erev Kippur will be strong enough to get through the day of Yom Kippur properly. These are the three reasons for giving. Okay. Let's now begin, I guess, an even more basic question. Is there a fact of it to see an Erev Kippur? We all assume that it's an obvious thing, but to look on this very same page in the Minchas Minos, the Minchas Minos says that there, in the second line, the Rambam, the Lord of the Zoran, sounds like it is Rosh Gemura. How do we know that a person is supposed to eat an Erev Kippur? Well, you probably know it comes from the following understanding. B'tishra l'chodesh v'erev. Me'erev ad erev tish b'tu shavata. So the Gemara asks, tishra l'chodesh. Yom Kippur is the tenth of the month. Answer the Gemara, kol ha'ochel b'tshi, if you eat and drink on the night, it's ki'ilu is ana b'tshi v'atiyu. It's as if you fasted and you were commanded to fast, both the ninth and the tenth day. Says the Rambam, according to the Minchas Minos, it would appear that it's a Torah requirement. How do you know? It sounds like he's saying, but also it's out of the era of the Kippurim and HaTorah. What's the concept of the Torah of all things? What's it doing there? If a person takes a medicine fast, it's a remarkable thing, our Rambam is so smart. If he had taken that in advance for so many days, including a real young taste of Shavuot and Sukkot, he fed. If he takes a debt of advance of Purim and Hanukkah, he does not. Why? Chachonim also chizut with the Rehem, Yosef and Yibrekot. The rabbis felt compelled to strengthen their own innovation, their own enactment, even more than the words of the Torah itself, which makes sense. The Torah is to protect itself. In the list of days, the pace of Shavuot and Sukkot is Erev Yom Kippur. So Erev Yom Kippur sounds like fasting in Erev Yom Kippur doesn't mean Erev Yom Kippur because it's Erev Yom Kippur. Sounds like a Torah requirement. So it appears. Let's go on. I'm finishing it. Look at the Ketan of Mishnah and they don't say it. Nireh Dato Shadam Rambam Urach Masa. It's only the Rabban. Only rabbinical requirement. Now, well, the most incredible of all these halachas is that the Rambam completely omitted the requirement to eat an Erev Kippur from the place you would expect to find it. The laws of Shemitah and Asar. All the laws of Kippur are there except for this. This is the same called the three Yitzchak, one of the great results of the Talmud of Yisrael Salander, to say that it's the opposite of the Mitzvah Kippur. That according to the Rambam, there's absolutely no requirement to eat Erev Kippur. Always it was something in the law. Doesn't exist. There's no such requirement whatsoever. He left it out in the place that you expect to see it. You want to know about Christmas the Zarim, we have a chance to get back to it. But that's what he said. So the three opinions, around the three opinions. Zoraita, Mishnah Sino, Vidrabona, or Joseph Kara, Professor Mishnah, and Ben Yosef. And not at all, the point of three is quite a remarkable. In the same round, three different opinions. Let us now proceed. I was told at a late stage And it was not only call your research other issues, but it didn't address it. Now, let's talk about the role of a woman. That's very important. So it's right here. Right here. Next topic. V'zeh kamashana masharaisi in a certain picture. And over half an hour. Shinistame v'noshin chayobos v'achiva erev yom ha'kipur. A woman obligated is this. Or maybe not. Inebas v'nistaseh is not durama. You know, women are exempt from all five dependent commandments. They should be exempt from the mitzvah of eating Arabic kippah, the same as they're exempt from the mitzvah of lula, shofar, and sukkah, etc. Is that true? Oh, you know, no. It's derived from the English, the position of all the Arab, right? It needs them as natural says, since a woman obligated to bed in a kippah, she's obligated to eat an Arabic kippah with her. For those who do not know me, and the men who gave it to, there are shash on today's dot, no coincidence. Sukkah Chavchet talks about it. Why? Because there, the regard of the discussion is a woman obligated to the other law is derived from the same public. Some of you may know that the Tisha Lachodesh Be'eret is the source of the midst of Tosefet Yom HaKippurim, the heir, not the way to the last minute. And the Gemara says, "Every up there, women are in fact obligated in this mitzvah to take on the kippur in the same as men." And the Rashash wonders, "What about the other mitzvahs derived from the same book, namely eating Arabic kippur? Are women obligated?" And that's also the same story. If it's a matter of renting them, it might have to be strong. But if it's a straight up and down there as a couplet, then mandurah, they should be exempt. Look at this custom to take on. Almost ironic. Says the Mechazim. If it's a real din, a real din, for Sukkah Chavchet, that there is no omen in that Torah, there's no punishment for Tosefet and Kippur, Noshin Peturo, there is death from Tosefet, were not the extra word Ezra. He is no extra word Ezra, so he says it to this. If it's a Torah law, women are exempt. Well, if it's a rabbinic law, yeah, if it's not to be called a master, it came to be the last part of our law. To go to Kayyav and be good, can Kaal, Alev, Hakman, Kandal, the Eretz, and Kibbe. So there's no right, but it's all the rules, yeah? Not wrong. Period. Now, a light remark. We've often been taught that our entire world revolves around women. So this is a Chassidus session, right here, in a halachic context. Literally, the first one is woman. Well, the female should have asked you, do you know why the movement or writer ain't not just Hayat or Hashem or Hashem? Therefore, he said, Yosef, the earth, the head of the mission is correct. It's only rabbinic. Why? The evil of Hayat and Torah, Hayat and Yudah, the man of Hashem and Hashem, and other kinds of laws, the Rabbi should have mentioned it. And since he did mention it, it's only the Rabbanan, and the Kilos, and the Nashim, and the Nashim, and the Kilos. What a remarkable thing. Whether I have to eat an Arabic kid when that depends on whether my wife has to eat. Because if I have a Torah obligation, my wife should have been exempt. And since you're not exempt, apparently, therefore, it must be your only rabbinical obligation. A remarkable idea. He took away my Torah obligations because of the women. Equation to men in this context. That's really boils down to the Chassidus. That's what he said. Remarkable one. Remarkable one. Okay. The Sehemet, we only see it for the major highlight. I'm just giving you a few more. The Sehemet has in its Hilchos Yom HaKippur, Arechus Yom Kippur, the following remarkable comment on the whole analysis of the Adderet. Wrote him a letter. The Adderet is a cook's father. Wrote him a letter to the following effect. I don't know what they talked about so much. The reason is this, the reason is this, the reason is this. Who cares what the reason is? We have a rule. Lo darshina tam of the throne. We don't care what the reason is. Even if the reason is not applied, the law applies anyway. The original paradox of this is we have to be very careful about a widow and sort of returning certain pictures are used as pawns because after all she's going to need, she's going to come out and you're going to have to come there day and night. It's not going to be very appropriate. What if the widow was a millionaire? for the reason of the fly. So Rav Shimon says, I blow out the fly. We don't detect Rav Shimon. We say, I blow out the fly. That's a miracle for reason. But despite the reason, lack of the reason, we have to keep the law anyway. So he says something in the synagogue, what do you talk to me? It's irrelevant. It's a mitzvah, a fair, an Arab and kicker. It's a mitzvah. And women are exempt from the Ramah. They're exempt. And leave me alone. He's a legalist. Don't give me so much reason. So right, yeah.
So that.
So now, there's a remarkable answer to this question, which I'm going to give you on my own. I haven't seen it in print. My answer. So my first tidbit comes right now. I tell you, it may have heard of a different context. It's true, lo darshin and time of the cross. When the Torah tells us such, it's such. We don't look for the reason, to the extent of it, and not to the law of the reason of the flood. But, the way I call the phrase, and again, I hope it's correct, lo darshin and time of the cross, but darshin and time of the drusha. Something that's explicit in the Torah, we don't look for the reason to exempt ourselves from reason of the plot. But any law which is derived only from a drasha, it's a rabbinical drasha, not a simple interpretation of the plot. We know what the simple interpretation of the plot is. Tisha la chodesh et ha'er came with the sun set to our head. It's a simple interpretation. Everything else is just, you know, a second. Maybe he's the right of the simple drasha. It's really not a simple drasha. It's a drasha. Could be because they like the drasha. It's still a drasha. Darshina is time of the drasha. Where the reason for the drush does not apply, then we have a right not to keep that drush. That's my Kiddush. I give two examples I gave many of the learners. One of them is, Yerushalmi tells us that one of the rabbis said that if it were up to me, I would eliminate the prohibition against work on Kalavayim. Because if the prohibition was enacted, you owe them, mishosim, v'yigayim, v'atorim. Not other words. Eat, drink, and learn Kalavayim. What did they do instead? Open the shows of Pokemon. They eat and drink and they be married and it's terrible, better off the work. So someone bring a proof of this that the prohibition against work on Kalamoy must be only remitted. With the Torah prohibition, how can you care about the reason? And I suggest no. Because the reason, the Easter of the law of Kalamoy is not a public anyway, it's only drugs. It's not like Easter many, we don't know what the drugs are all for. It's reason number one. Reason number two, example number two, I should say. It says, Moses go to do. Don't make agudos by agudos. So I'll give one example, that's not a simple shot. Those who go to the people scratch until somebody dies. But the rabbi asked me, one of these classical examples is, if you're a shul, coming up, Chalamoy, next week. Chalamoy. So the question, where's the film? No way to film. So they say, well, there should be one shul with half way to film and half no way to film. They say, rabbi, I think it's my Chalamoy, rabbi. Establish a custom. Take charge. So I have the following interpretation. The reason for those not doing agudos agudos is to prevent fights. That's what it says, to prevent fights. Should be fights. If I'm going to get up and say I'm going to be aware or not aware, what's going to happen? A bigger fight. So they said, who cares? Well, that sheen is time for the crop. The chips fall where they may. No. That sheen is time for the drug. Let me just give you two examples. I say here's number three. The myth of eating Erev Kippur is a drasha, as if it was our Shina time of the drasha. I'm saying against what the idea of suggests. But of course I have to pull out my side. That was a myth of sin. That was talked about the reason in a practical sense. Okay, that's another one. Count along the Kuroi Kodesh, that's the other page. See Petra Francis. It starts as follows. Isha Kola, the woman is sick, should stop to the Arofa and the Kola Kashashir. You know, a person who's sick, and not that sick, should be blessed this year. That was the topic of my Shabbat Shuba Drasha in Riverdale. You tell the people who were there and told, you never thought I'd repeat myself. I hope. So they came anyway, so it's a totally different topic. That was the topic of the minute. So, what's the story? Much, if you're a business of honey, eat an Arab too. Put them to Kivegas, take a paragraph, a woman obligated, so they're in Kivegas, wondering about their shots, wondering, and the custom is wondering, he goes back and forth. Maybe, since it's derived from Inui, so the same way they're obligated in Inui, to stay on them here, but they have to get on them here. Again, the Adelaide says, who are you? You're a Tani, they can do your own brushes, your own sneakers, you have the right to do something. But again, we're right, we don't see the time of the rush. Put the Kitab Tov. Something remarkable. He quotes the Rashi. Rashi, you would say, ah, what does it say there? Hatken Atmach of Achi to Tuchel the Tanach of Achi. This is Rabbi Elion and Rabbi Green. Prepare the meeting to be on the fair. And he quotes the Torah, so Yashim and Matanis. Test. See, test as follows. If came, so the next five months, if came, Gamnoshim came into the Yavos of Tanis, the Mela Hayavos, God, that will be our ability to prove. The Zilbos of Tama. Follow the reason. Again, what we said before, the Tama of the Drusha. The Ashina Tama of the Drusha. So therefore, perhaps it should be obligated. Okay. Now, so I said that. Of course, the question is, as follows. What are the woman six? Let's go to the bottom line of this first house. Hatzah, Goran, Skir, Benoshim, Lugar, Tur, Kol. What does that mean? Take a choice. Do we go with logic, or do we be strict instruction? If we go with logic, so then what happens? The woman is obligated. But someone who's sick with an Ina Yom Kippur is not obligated. You want to be a strict instruction, it's the reverse. Right? Men are all obligated because they're going to eat something and Yom Kippur is sick. Women are exempt. See, this is some of the following trick. A woman who's sick has no obligation to have Yom Kippur. As we say in our language, no matter what. If you follow the logic, she's going to eat. If you follow the strict instruction, she's a woman that's commander of them. That's what she's. That's the same as the Tzatzot. Says our chief of the Frank in the final paragraph. Just that you want to see it again. Let's say it's fine. The Torah, this is the last part, the Torah, the second column. Yes, I am the Tzatzot, which is the Tzatzot, the Hakim, the Kola, the Shemukra, the Lemon, the Yom Kippur. He didn't discuss the following. What kind of Kola is open about? The typical Kola eats less this year. And he wrote, the breakthrough is, this is on the fifth line, That's a remarkable idea. Is even the Ksatzofer is right that a woman who is has to eat, she gave birth, a woman that gives birth anytime after today, it's a good week. She gives birth this week, anyone has a magic out there? If you give birth this week, you're exempt from family and affairs. So you have an obligation to fare to every kid for the Kitab. Not so fair to the Kitab. Because a typical woman gives birth today, by the time she, I don't know what the doctor will say, but she gives birth tonight, maybe the doctor will tell her by tomorrow night, you know, you have to eat, but you can eat, as we said before, take a 1 ounce square, a shot square, a food, a drink, and every 10 minutes, repeat, that'll be enough for you. Said if she pays, but if that's the case, you're fasting! I mean, you're eating and drinking a little bit, but how long are you still fasting? So therefore you have to eat an Erev Yom Kippur. That's his law. So with this, I conclude the first part of my shiur. Again, let's recapitulate that briefly. There are three reasons given. There are three opinions about the Rambam's view. Is there a mitzvah in the Torah that are one or not at all? We talk about the women. Are they obligated depending on whether it's the reason or if they're the custom? They're not cynical. As far as to say, because women are not distinguished from men, this is a proof it's only a rabbinical law, not a Torah law. The question of Kola comes up. We spoke about that Shina time of the Kra, time of the Drasha, and we have the Tzav Tov as a fancy Mamanaja, and then from Tzav Pesach's rejoinder, and only would apply if they have to eat more than a Shia within the next amount of time. This is the concluded part. Okay. There is apparently a Sira in Rashi, a contradiction in Rashi. What might we saw? Rashi's quarter of air, being with Payal. It's a prep, it's a pure prep. Now, if it's a prep, all you have to do is eat enough for you to eat. On the contrary, eat too much, it may not be so good for you. However, Rashi in the seventh, this is Yuma Payal. Rashi intercepts the Rosh Hashanah that says, has a completely different text. Rashi there says, oh, the Torah is telling us that every bite that we eat is considered the equivalent of inui. It's as if we're somehow depriving ourselves. And therefore it says, the more you eat, the better. That's really right. The more you eat that Arab Yom Kippur, the better. Not merely in terms of preparing yourself to fast that shouldn't hurt you to fast. Some people tell me that, like before another fast, before Tisha B'Av, they eat very little, eat too much, your stomach starts to churn, and eat less. That's the perspective of preparing for the fast for those people. But according to Rashi, for something like Rosh Hashanah, it's a whole different taste. Every bite that you eat is considered an act of deprivation by the Torah. So the more you eat, the better off you are. So right, Rashi. This seems to be a contradiction in Rashi, which the Sechemet again points out in that same place. May I suggest that whenever we talk about three possibilities, let's turn it back again to see them again in bold print, the Rabbeinu Yonah has three different possibilities, once again, what I call Tshuva, Simcha, and Chizuk, maybe more than one is true. Maybe more than one is true. The two Rashi's are not necessarily contradictory. True Rashi and Yuma is truly a prep, and a prep means eat whatever is good for you to prepare. But perhaps Rashi accepts another reason as well. Maybe the first reason, that you're demonstrating your Simcha, that you're going to have kapara, shows how much you're worried about your Rabbeinu. So your Daga shows. So the more you eat, the happier you are, means the more you're worried, means the greater Shuvah you're doing. So Rashi could accept reason one and three, perhaps. They're not necessarily contradictory, these reasons. It could be complementary. Keep it in mind as we get to go a little further, but I think more than one truth, perhaps. We're now going to turn to the last paragraph of the Chachamim. Very interesting. Vizdat. Vizdat. Vizdat, all better. Says that Poshut, the Erev Yom HaKippurim, the mitzvah level, and Chiyuv Dafka Pas, Timo Shabbat Yom Kippur. Lomatina Zev Shemokam at mitzvah level, the Yotzim of Kol Dover. No need to have any bread. Put the dog on a ground by Purim. And this is no better than Purim. That's statement number one. Frankly, I'm not completely convinced. I'll tell you why. What about the second reason of Rabbi Leon? That it's a Yom Sudah. Rosh Hashanah, just this last week, we had a Yom Sudah. We had pot. We had bread, challah by night, and challah by day. As we do on Shavuot, Sukkot. So, how do we beneath Yom Kippur? We say, we have pots by night and pots by day. And if someone is sick and has that bread, and he mentions Yom Kippur, what does he say? Yalla v'yoga v'yoga t'kura ma'zeh. So maybe, since we are fulfilling this mitzvah on Erev Yom Kippur, maybe we should have to have pots. I'm not completely convinced that the Mishnah Sinah is correct. Maybe we should have that pot. Let's go further. The nearer the Nisan, the came that he left Erev Yom Kippur, not from the Inui, and Shaloma. Then the Yosel came up of Erev Yom Kippur, sheer to Kol 7, B'chzeh he left Kippur. You have to eat so much that if you ate it the next day, you would be tired. Definitely a Kol 7, which, no. Where Matmir is not less, we know that one fluid ounce is less than the Kol 7. If you want to go the other way, you have to double it. So you have to have at least two fluid ounces within 2 minutes. The biggest Kumar could actually look proud. If you don't have two fluid ounces in 2 minutes, maybe you're not fulfilling the mission of eating out of your kippah, because you wouldn't be hiding in your honor kippah. What a remarkable idea. So I said that. Having said all this, I'm ready to open the Shulchan Aruch. I did copy the Shulchan Aruch for you. The fewer the covers, the better in your hands, I believe. But I can't prepare the Shulchan Aruch. If you want to look it up, when you get home, please be my guest. Simen Tov Reish Dalet Siv Aleph. The entire Siv is short. I'll read it to you by heart. You should try to get it straight. Mitzvah Lev of an Erev Yom Kippur Ulahar Vasudah. Okay? 7 words in Shulchan Aruch. Mitzvah lechol be'erev Yom Kippur, phrase 1, u'laharvat b'sudah, phrase 2. That's all the Shulchan Aruch says. Ramo adds, but so far only the Shulchan Aruch. That's only the Shulchan Aruch. The Vilna Gaon is famous for giving sources and shots for everything in Shulchan Aruch. So the Vilna Gaon is silent on the first 5 words. On the second and the last 2 words, he has the following quotation. Ksuvah sapeh. Ksuvah sapeh. Now, we know that that Gemara about the famous Gemara that you eat on the ninth is if you fast on the ninth. It depends on the 3 places that take a shot. And Rosh Hashanah, and the human. That's Ksuvah. So what exactly is Ksuvah? What's there? What's Ksuvah? Well, the Shiva of Ksuvah some years ago, some of you have access to remember it, the following remarkable line. The Gemara discusses what day you should get married. You should get married on Wednesday, you should get married on Sunday, you can't get married on Sunday. For those who know the Ksuvah, Wednesday is before Thursday and Sunday is before Monday. Those who know what the first mission tells us about. Not for this, for the end of this time. So let's get married on Sunday. No, says the Gemara. We're afraid that the caterer, we've had some experience here with the unscrupulous caterers and the purveyors of kosher food, the caterer may slaughter the chicken on Shabbos. That's what we're afraid of. After they got. They disallowed Sunday weddings. Those who do these, remember the old Saturday night weddings of that generation? The rabbis knew exactly what we're talking about. If they didn't chef it on Shabbos, a lot of people going out on Shabbos. The rabbis knew what they were talking about. Ask the Gemara the remarkable question. How did the rabbis allow Yom Kippur to take place on Monday? This year! Why are we afraid and preparing for this big mitzvah of eating Erev Yom Kippur, some of them slaughter a chicken on Shabbos? That's the Gemara's question. And the Vilna Gaon quotes Rashi. Rashi says, Shatal, this is the word Rashi, word, every word is important. Rashi says, Shatal is the shame of Shabbos. Shatrin in la harbos besuder acha Shabbos Erev Yom Kippur. The Vilna Gaon said the word, the harbos, is not in Brochus, and it's not in Rosh Hashanah, it's not in Yom, it's only in Ksuvah. That's why he put in that phrase to the last 2 words, Ksuvah Tzavah. Brilliant of the Vilna Gaon. Hold on a second. So how are we having no kibbutz with Yom Kippur? How come the rabbis didn't force us to postpone it to? Not so simple. You think it's not a Jewish calendar. It's not so simple. Rosh Hashanah was this year on Shabbat. Lo Adu Rosh, because Rosh Hashanah can't come out not on Friday, not on Sunday. So what are you going to do with that? It's a problem. But maybe the time of the day, maybe they could be more elastic with the calendar. But anyway, what do I answer? If you then have a wedding on Sunday, you're going to have your wedding, for all we know, either Saturday night, you'll chef on Shabbos, and that's what happened in the Jewish caterers 50 years ago. But here is the Rebbe. What is the Rebbe? It's time, says Rashi. Lishchot alayim. Why? Here's the most important word. Shasuda eina ad lamachar. The suda of the kippur is only by day. When I was reading the refreshment excerpt, and I was, I'm sure by now, long gone, I was thinking that maybe the administration felt that they're going to keep the mezaka and people in the tremendous mitzvah of achilas erev Yom Kippur. And I'm starting at the point. Because the Vilna Gaon says that the mitzvah only begins tomorrow. In America, let the diet start tomorrow. But the Vilna Gaon says, let the eating start tomorrow. That's what the mitzvah is. So it appears. So it would appear. But nothing is simple as it appears. If this is true, it's not like Rosh Hashanah. We have to reject the second view of Rabbi Yonah, the second typical Yonah. Rosh Hashanah had eaten that. So presumably, we should be rejecting it, according to the Vilna Gaon. Unless We go back to our multiplicity of truth. More than one thing is true. That's what I want to start talking about for the rest of this year. But more than one thing is true. Halfway through, I'm out of money, I'm on schedule, I want to discuss the possibility now of multiple truths. Maybe more than one thing is true. Maybe there's a mission to eat tonight, maybe it's a wash tonight. Tonight's a lot of love, still in the system, even in a typical year. But the midst of the horrible pseudo of having a lot of things to eat, that's only during the day. Maybe there's more than one truth. And let me try to explain. The source of this analysis, is my final source for this shiur, is the Mogen Avraham on the top, right here. The two halves of the Mogen Avraham, each one is more remarkable than the next. At the beginning of the Mogen Avraham is telling us the following shaila. Someone had a, I hope it won't happen to anybody here. I hope so. Someone has a bad dream. A bad dream. It refers as a bad dream to the concept called Tanis Halom, to fast the next day, even if it's chopped, even if it's young. What about Arabic? Bad times have a bad dream. What about Arabic? That's the first half of this discussion. Because we counted the Rambam. I told them that the Chabad was only seven words. The Rambam, a few more words. The author of this Anos Bo Afilu Tanis Kalom. Six words. You can memorize. You can't even say the Tanis Kalom. That's the Rambam said. The Bhagavan Avram is not so sure it's right. Not so sure it's right. Let me give you his analysis very briefly. The Maharil is the source of this, because he takes the following Gemara. The Gemara tells us that Mar Berei the Ravina fasted every single day of the year with three exceptions. Only three. What are they? Purim, Shavuot, and Erev Yom Kippur. He fasted Shabbos, he fasted Yom Kippur. Only three exceptions. Sounds very strange. Very strange. So the Maharil explained he always had bad dreams. He always had when he had a bad dream, he fasted with these three exceptions. That's the case. So wait a second. So you should have to fast on Erev Yom Kippur, even if you have a bad dream, according to the Maharil. Wow. Wow. Well, you know what? If he wants to fast until the Suda Mapsekas, that's allowed. So why does Rambam say it's not allowed? Given the pressure it's not allowed at all, can't fast even a few minutes on Erev Yom Kippur? He doesn't understand. So Purim, the Rambam by Purim, Mutal is Anos Tanis Kalom. Rambam affairs, tough rate Sadi Hegei. Why is the distinction between Purim and Erev Yom Kippur when the Gemara equates them with Shavuot? Why? That's the question against the Rambam. It's a very, very valid question. His answer is unbelievable. It's an amazing piece of butter in there. The Mogen Avraham's answer is a mind-boggling answer. Comes from a sacred Muslim, from the Shalom. It was more known, but the Shalom was known for Muslim. You know what the Shalom says? Why do you say if you have a bad dream? Oh, a bad dream. When you eat on Erev Yom Kippur, you're fasting. Ki'ilu is Anashim Asiri. So just as you need a fast to somehow eliminate the terrible prognostication of a bad dream, you're eating on Erev Yom Kippur to do exactly the same thing. Wow. The halacha determines the material. The halacha determines the reality. Don't worry about your bad dream. Your eating today is like fasting any other day. The shalom. I could have said it. The shalom said it. What a remarkable idea. This is part one of the Mogen Avraham. My final thought is part two of the same Mogen Avraham.
The following question. Kotar Shalom again. Hanoagim shel lo lechol bosor ki v'yamim she'erom tachlum.
So people would only eat meat
on a liberal version of yom.
You don't say tachlum, it's some shul. I don't want to say what that means, you know. There are the kippers, we can't all say. But
find the shulchan aruch, find the siddur.
Okay, even the siddur looks more expensive. Take the article siddur, for example. You have the Lord with the day, they don't say tachlum. And all those days will be meat, and not another day. What about Erev and Sukkot? Question. Of course, everything we don't say tachlum. That's a question.
The question is tonight, can he have a place to go on a mountain in this
year? Even during the week, we'll give it a different day of the week. Right?
Can he?
You know what it says? A remarkable idea. It depends when you're waking up tomorrow and sleep. In the German community, people may be part of that community. You should leave right now. We're getting up so early tomorrow. They did the longest sleep of the year on Erev Yom Kippur. Longest sleep to Erev Rosh Hashanah. The rest of Kali Yisrael, I know that. That's a pleasure. It's a few cents, 10, 15 minutes. It's nothing. It's a few pages. So the Shalom says, if you are in the German custom, that means you consider tonight not to be a young man, you have to pull up an hour and a half to sleep ahead of you, then you cannot be tonight. Not allowed. It's a separate custom. If, however, you follow the more prevalent custom, so then you may have meat tonight. If the Babadan Brahma made your problem. Everybody asked who was in shul, the men were in shul for Mishnah today. Did you take the custom of Tzedek? Did you say it or did you not say it? Did you sit it to the stairs and we said it? And explain to the bottom why, because it's a weekday. What we have said the night before Erev, we say what? Tachlis. We have a rule. Whenever the night is the yomtiv, we don't say tachlis because of the mitzvah. So therefore, our customs are contradictory. We say short sleepit. At the same time, we say tachlis the afternoon before Leil Yom Kippur. Doesn't add up. This is what the Rav Aharon is rescuing. And because he can't have a full resolution, he says the father, look, if you're eating at night, you're allowed to have meat. It's only a minute. But if you took a real nether, umi shenoda, shelo lechol bosa putzi yontif, referring back to talk to ayin, nada. You took a nether, not to eat meat except the yontif, you cannot eat at night. If it's a real demon, nether, it's not a full yom. If, however, it's just a custom that you have, then it can be leading to have meat tonight. That's what the Magen Avraham conclusion is. This is his conclusion. I want to suggest my second kiddush for the demon. This is the spot. We had mentioned before the preeminence says according to the Rambam that there's absolutely no business to eat Erev Yom Kippur. He left it out of Erev Yom Kippur. So the question is, so why when it comes to the Dorim, does the Rambam say that the idea of Erev Yom Kippur is so powerful it doesn't even require any kiddush? Nancy. When we speak of the Dorim, it's called famous rule of the Dorim, that the Dorim Halach Achal Loshon B'nei Odom. The laws of the Dorim were not determined by halachic speak, but rather more by colloquial speak. Loshon B'nei Odom. This is my Kiddush. The Yomtiv is a full sense. When we use the expression, oh, I can say the Yomtiv, it means in our language, we eat a lot. I woke up. Even if it's a big deal, it's like yomtiv. Ribui food that is appropriately associated with yomtiv. I make the following suggestion to you. The ribui food is only by day. That's the full yomtiv with the Rashi Masechta, Rosh Hashanah,
with the boy you developed as a sign of tshuva. You're happy now because you're anticipating your kapara this evening. So therefore, it's a halakhic status of yomtiv and lashon for the other people is absolutely no obligation. Of course, they're not obligated at all to eat tomorrow. Doesn't matter, but in people's minds, everybody's a tremendous amount of an Arabic kibbutz, they do it as a yomtiv, and therefore it's included in that ancient confusion. That's what I wanted to suggest in the Rambam. Let me go on. If it's an obligation tonight, it's a minor obligation. Maybe even to wash, as I said before, according to the second piece of Rabbeinu. But you want to be hot. No chicken. Therefore, I don't have to worry about checking the chicken today for tonight's suda. There is no suda tonight. If there is a suda, you can eat a plain bread. Therefore, I believe we have reached this remarkable conclusion. Perhaps all three reasons of Rabbeinu Yonah should be taken into account. We had these strict instructions to want to throw out all the reasons. Lo dashina tam of the drush. So my first kiddush was dashina tam of the drush. My second is the multiplicity of truth. All three are true. It would be preferred to wash tonight. I'm talking about even for next year, because of Rabbeinu Yonah's second reason. You absolutely must eat by day an amount which is necessary to make you strong to be able to fast. And if you have ribui suda, it's only by day, because ribui suda is an anticipation of your atonement, and that's only by day where that very night you're already waiting to have the Yom Kippur coming. Let me conclude my remarks this evening with some zirei hitorot, words of encouragement. And I will parallel my remarks this evening based on a line I had in shul at the end of my Shabbat shul with Russia earlier. I asked the people in shul, please, we have one day left, Yom Kippur, one day left. Let's do everything we can on this day to correct what we may have done wrong during the year. You can't do this on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is it. Yom Kippur, you're a malach. You can't correct your mistakes on Yom Kippur. You can only ask for forgiveness. You can't correct anything on Yom Kippur. It's a different day. It breaks all the rules. We can still do it today. And I beg the people, so we're about to finish the drasha, so we're about to stop in Meir. I said, let's look ourselves and say, how have Meir been this past year? Has every Meir been proper? And every marriage with proper kavana, with the proper, as I called it, concentration and enthusiasm, those are my two words. Did we concentrate and focus on our marriage every word? Were we enthusiastic about our marriage? Or did we just sort of pay some lip service too many times? You have a chance to correct it. Now we're dominating marriage together. You can't correct that in a cold midday night. You're an angel. But tonight's a plain night. We can correct it. Let's correct it. Let's correct it right now. Thank God, I believe it was a beautiful, uplifting marriage together. Man said, we have one day left of eating this year before the season closes, before New Year. That's tonight and tomorrow. You cannot correct any lack of perfection in your eating habits on Yom Kippur itself. You're not eating at all. But we still have time between now and Kol Nidre to correct some imperfections that may have existed in these habits. What are these imperfections? Number one, the Rambam writes in the Hilchos Teshuva that when we eat, we're supposed to eat the Shem Shemaim. Rambam. I'm giving you some modern day Buddhist name, but the Rambam says it. Doesn't just mean you're learning, you're davening, you're stucker, you're chesed. Of course it's the Shem Shemaim. So then your eating should be the Shem Shemaim. As they say, eat in order to live, not the reverse, and to live a spiritual life. Zachmeinu l'chayim, l'man t'alo k'chayim. Not just to live to be 100 years old, but to do something with your life, spiritually. So your eating should be focused on that. How many of us can say, with a clear conscience, that everything we ate last month of Yom Kippur was eating with Shem Shema? You have one more day to correct that. Perhaps as our Myers tonight and your Shabbat the middle of tomorrow, hopefully correct all the ones without Kavana, without proper Kavana for the year. So your eating tonight and tomorrow will correct all the eating without proper Kavana for the entire year, for the Shem Shemayim. With a bracha before, with Kavana. Not wolfing down a bracha. I'm in such a rush to put it into my mouth, such a hot little swallow, everything swallowed up. What is Atah? What is Hashem? Melech, oh, just focus. Focus on it. How long does it take already? 3 seconds. 5 seconds. How long does it take? Look on your watch, bro. It doesn't take more than that. Focus for those 2 seconds. Correct tonight all the hamotes you made with no kavana. And benching, Birkas Hamotah, it's a law, that's much longer, it takes a while. Take out a venture, then if you know by heart, take it out, say the word, focus, say Yerushalayim. How many of us cry about Yerushalayim? The matter crying right, when you have the student of segment to cry bitter tears when you get to Bnei Yerushalayim. That's really right. Because now or never, Kerem Yom Kippur. What happened the rest of the year? What the words mean, it's just said so quickly. You have that two of them have seconds to correct all our Bnei Yerushalayim's invention without any kavana. We can start tonight with Abba Malka too. Don't wait until the two of them have seconds. Let's start tonight. We should take a different car by the table. Shulchan Dovah and Mizbeach are out of the floor. Our table should be focused. Should be a focus of Divrei Torah. Whatever that may be, Halacha, Gemara, Chumash, Tillin, whatever. Let our tables be appropriate tables. Without Lashon Hara, on 40 tables that don't have Divrei Torah, nature affords a vacuum, was it filled up with A, overeating, and B, over talking. The two great sins of the mouth, going in and going out. It often happens at the same time, over the same choke. The Rambam writes, in the seventh parak of Hilchos Tshuva, I mentioned in my shul last night, don't think that Tshuva is only for misdeeds, for things you did wrong. Tshuva is also for bad, what he calls Deus, which we call Midos. And he gives seven examples. I call them the seven deadly sins. What are the seven deadly sins? Ka, anger. Sina, hatred. Kina, jealousy. Hitul, scoffing. And he has three redifos. Running after three things. Mammon, money. Covered, honor. And the last of the seven deadly sins. Redifa, tamakol. Running after food. You sometimes see people at a public kiddush or wedding, you think they haven't eaten in 3 days. Our case of a tunnel of Panetta, the Rediva Samachol, says Rama. It's a shortcoming in our meter. It's not a favorite such, but it's a shortcoming in our meter. We have today, we can correct it. We'll eat tonight in measure. You can leave something over at the Rambam. It's a good thing to leave something over. You can say children are starving in Europe and all those kids might have been destroying yourself. Leave something over. There's so much, there's such an excess. There's such an excess today. It's unbelievable. I'll make you a reference to say your homework. I made reference to my Shabbat Shiva address. In the Torah web page for this week, there's an article by Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky. With a one-word title. It's called Materialism. Please read it. It's discussed over the last 60 years, that he remembers, The world has changed dramatically because today you were impoverished, there were not so many conveniences, and your life was more spiritual in nature, was a spiritual life. Today, with the excess of money and everything is there, people eat so much because of listen to your food, like, I don't know by heart, Chinese, Korean, sushi, 142 grams of wine, kosher paste of pizza, marshmallow, it's an enlightening living. But it teaches us it's redeemed us on our father. As I mentioned earlier in shul, things were thrown out in a little toy shop. I'll give the same heads that I gave it. My dispensation should be worth a lot. In America, although it's not in the Constitution, in our world of America today, it seems to be an absolute imperative to go out on Saturday night. Someone's caught at home and the other one is at home. Home on Saturday night. Because they're home Saturday, the singles and the married, they were going out to the rest. Well, I tell you where they're going, out and walking, very often to eat. I give you a dispensation. It's permissible to stay home on Motzei Shabbos. Come to a shiur like this, that's beautiful. Go to any other shiur Motzei Shabbos, fine, there are a lot of wonderful shiurs. You want to consider that the call of Motzei Shabbos? Something to consider. But you're allowed to stay home with your family and eat these shrines and Shabbos and have a spirit of love and mouth the way I grew up in the house and singing the mirrors and having nice music and a family ambiance. Why run out to the street and get the kosher and all these milk potatoes, the very, Riverdale Avenue, I don't want to go into the neighborhood. You don't go to Riverdale Avenue, you can sit in your own house, and there's sort of nothing kosher, but it's more small kosher in your own house. No redeemers on my fellows there. This is what I wanted to say. You have one day, being correct, spent a lot of time still by the midst of Achilles Yom HaKippurim, Erev Yom HaKippurim. Let us eat this Erev Yom HaKippurim with all the proper kavanas, the Shem Shemayim, without Rejifo. As an aside, it's also extraordinarily healthy to eat less. And we are required by halacha to be healthy. There are too many Americans today, if you know better than I do, that are either overweight, obese. It's past smoking as a major health hazard in America. We're supposed to live. Zachrein al-Lachayim! How can we say Zachrein al-Lachayim if we do things that are injurious to our longevity? Is that right? So by not running after food and even the Shem Shemayim, we're accomplishing, hopefully, on balance, a greater longevity as well. More opportunities to Torah mitzvah. This is my message. Tonight's beautiful shiur should be a kapara for all the... This tonight was called Motzei Shabbos. It should be a kapara for all the Saturday nights that we were Americans and not Torah Jews. Even if we're keeping kosher. And our eating tomorrow should be a kapara. So we eat the Shem Shemayim for the eating that we did Shalom the Shem Shemayim. And the table we're going to have tomorrow, Shabbat, will be Lashon Hara free and Erev Kippur should be a kapara for all the other tables that we were not as perfect as we should have been. That is my lesson. I hope that all of us will have been elevated by the halakhic discourse and will be inspired to some extent by this rather brief, but I think important, tizorus, inspirational discourse. And the schut of our Torah, and Rabbi Yonah's three things, our tshuva, our simcha, and our chizuk. May we all be privileged with all the Chal Yisrael to a Gemar Chatzim Atova and the Shnat Ha'ayim Shalom. Amen. Amen.
Wonderful.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I know I now need to say that we'll take a few minutes to get started.